From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, it is 2 days prior to the Independence Day of Indonesia commemoration, and guess what, it's the 15th of August 2019, and today I'm Stefanus will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes with more information coming from Indonesia. But before anything, we would like to begin with the news, so stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kala said Indonesia's real challenge is no longer related to foreign invasion. Foreign representatives from 10 countries attend IPB to discuss coastal ecosystem. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kala pointed the fact that Indonesia's current challenges are no longer linked to foreign invasion, but to foreign nations' global dominance in economy and technology. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he told mid-ranking officers of the Indonesian military TNI and police at the Navy Staffs and Command Schools at Skuad in Jakarta on Wednesday. He said that at the regional level, Indonesian major challenges are related to the economy. He also pointed out that based on several research reports and forecasts, Indonesia will not face an interstate adversary that will pave the way for a foreign invasion within the next 2 to 3 decades. Instead, he added that possible attacks by foreign countries on Indonesia will be related to economic capability, particularly in connections with the ability to increase export-oriented industrial products. Foreign representatives from 10 countries as members of the Society for Coastal Ecosystem Studies Asia-Pacific attended the 2019 International Symposium at campus of Bogor Institute of Agriculture IPB in Bogor, West Java. The activity that discusses coastal ecosystem has taken place since 12 until August 16. As quoted by Republika Online, chairman of the local organizing committee of the Society for Coastal Ecosystem Studies Asia-Pacific, Yusli Wardiatno, said, more recently, that the reason Indonesia hosts the symposium is due to the abundance of coastal resources and Indonesia's high biodiversity. He hopes that with the gathering of 180 participants from Japan, Myanmar, the Philippines, Taiwan, Thailand, Singapore, India, Russia and Germany, Indonesia could learn and exchange information. Recently, Indonesia has been confronted with the issue of radicalism. One of the efforts to counter this issue is that Directorate of Early Childhood Education Development PAUD at the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia held a PAUD Goes to Museum activity so that PAUD students visit the museum. As many as thousands of PAUD students from Jakarta, Bogor, Tangerang, and Bekasi visited the National Museum Jakarta on Wednesday. According to the director of PAUD Development, Muhammad Hasbi, the initial idea of the Goes to Museum event was to instill a spirit of nationalism and love for the country from an early age. So the initial idea is how to get our early childhood children from the beginning to have embedded themselves in the spirit of nationalism and love for the motherland. How can our PAUD children have been taught the spirit of nationalism and love for the motherland from an early age so that they grow and develop into a generation of Indonesian who love their nation, but they also have a strong global outlook? Furthermore, Muhammad Hasbi said that the museum as the main location of the Goes to Museum PAUD event is meant that the museum has a story or history since the first time to the Indonesian people as existed. Through the museum, Indonesian children can get to know how their nation is, and this can be embedded into adulthood. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A work of Indonesian film director has successfully entered Hollywood film industry in United States of America, and it is nominated as one of the best pictures at Oscar Academy Award. After holding a press conference held at CGV Grand Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, Indonesian Minister of Tourism Arief Yahya expressed his support on the nomination because the film can highlight Indonesian tourism destination well.
Pariwisata sudah. Picturesnya bagus sekali. Kalau memang masuk, saya
It's tourism. The picture is really nice, so I truly agree if it is nominated as the best picture because the angles are perfect in good tourism destinations. Hopefully, this will inspire others. Livi said that she will also make a film about Belitung, so it is made into a film like this good one. People do not realize that we're promoting tourism destination as well. Previously, we saw Pemutaran, Ubud, and Canggu. There are many destination spots shown in this film, so I believe that if film is one of media that is effective to promote tourism destination.
Ditampilkan dalam film ini. Jadi semakin meyakini saya bahwa film itu adalah salah satu media untuk promosi yang efektif.
Minister Arief added that his side will continuously support positive activities that are able to promote Indonesian tourism destination to the world. On the same occasion, director of this film, Livi Cheng, also said that she will keep promoting Indonesian tourism destination to the world film industry, particularly Hollywood. Minister of Manpower Hanif Dakhiri emphasized the importance of job loss, training and certification guarantee for Indonesian workers at Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. He pointed out that the two programs will become additional programs of social guarantee which have been carried out so far. He also explained that currently, the world of labor has developed very fast and flexibly. The programs of social guarantee are needed to give protections to the employees in Indonesia in a bid to face rapid change in time.
Jaminan kehilangan pekerjaan itu kalau dalam pikiran saya kira-kira dia bisa mengcover orang yang kehilangan pekerjaan.
So job loss guarantee in my mind can cover person who loses a job in certain times. Take for example you, journalist, may lose your job today, for example in the next 6 months. You are covered by the guarantee. It means that every month you are paid. How much you will be paid depends on your duties and it can be stimulated. At least for 6 months you are safe. When in safe condition there are two things which can be conducted. First one is upgrade skill, and second one is finding a new job. Minister Hanif Dakhiri further stated that there is no problem if there will be pros and cons in community related to the plant. He added that the state is deeply concerned to give protections to the community related to the manpower. The Jakarta Police Special Crime Directorate has arrested 4 people suspected of smuggling cosmetics, drugs, food and electronics appliances worth billions of rupiah from China. All 4 are Chinese nationals and detained in Tegar Port and the Marunda Center Terminal in Bekasi, West Java. Jakarta Police Chief Inspector General Edi Pramono said that the police received 3 separate reports about them on July 27, July 29, and August 7. Escorted by JakartaPost.com, Edi added that with the reports, the police investigate the case and arrest the 4 suspects. He further explained that the illegal products are from China, smuggled through Malaysia before entering Kalimantan by land transportation. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Doni Monardo and his staff commemorated the 58th Scout Day in Serang, Banten on Wednesday. As reported by the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, this event was attended by more than 1,000 Scout members from various regions along with disaster relief volunteers. In his remarks, Doni Monardo said that natural events are natural ones that occur repeatedly in the future. Therefore, he hopes that everybody can recognize the threat, prepare their strategies, and save themselves from disaster. He also mentioned that the solution to the tsunami disaster is prevention. One of them is making a natural fortress by planting trees. In addition, saving more human lives is one of them to ensure coordination and flow of information that reaches directly to the community and simulation. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's today's commentary, and it is entitled Creativity Important for Tourism Sector Development. Tourism sector in Indonesia keeps receiving serious attention from the government because the contribution of this sector in state revenue also keeps increasing. Tourism integrated with creative industries can be an amazing attraction and good competitiveness. Both of them are inseparable because they support one another. Therefore, awareness and commitment need to be built to advance both sectors. The progress of these two sectors is very positive in increasing the country's foreign exchange. Indonesia, which is rich in cultural diversity and natural attractions, can be a magnet for foreign tourists. The natural beauty and excellent service from the creative industry sector can make tourists stay longer, and in the end, they can spend more money for shopping too. Creative industry development in one region can create tourism attractions. This was said by Director of Interinstitutional Relations of Creative Economy Agency or BECRAF, Hassan Abud. The regional government has mapped the needs of creative industry. One of them is West Java Provincial Government, which has grouped the potential of creative industries spread across 27 regencies and cities, such as the Rattan Industry Center in Cirebon, the Bamboo Industry Center in Tasikmalaya, and the Performing Arts in Karawang. Meanwhile, Yogyakarta, Bali, Riau, Surabaya, and Banyuwangi are also considered ready. The holding of 99 festivals to attract tourists and make tourists stay longer in Banyuwangi proved that creativity can drive tourism sector. Besides, the Banyuwangi government has made the location of agro-tourism park Taman Suruh at the base of Mount Ijen for the Agro Expo Festival as a tourism destination every weekend. Economic activity takes place in line with the increasing number of domestic and foreign tourists to Banyuwangi. Another region that also benefits from tourism activities is North Sulawesi. Back in 2015, there were 20,000 foreign tourists visiting this area, and then by 2018, the number had risen to 120,000. And this year, North Sulawesi holds 14 main activities in 15 cities and regencies. Therefore, the tourism sector and the creative industry must synergize in creating a variety of interesting activities and innovative products that can be competitive. Certainly, the tourism potential and distinctive culture owned by each region must be preserved and demonstrated to both domestic and foreign tourists. In the end, every region, both in cities and regencies throughout Indonesia, can become a favorite tourism destination. And listener, that is our commentary today.
Itulah hari kemerdekaan kita. Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on August 15, 1914. Panama Canal was opened for shipping. Panama Canal is the one that cuts the Panama Isthmus along 82 kilometers, cuts North America and South America, and connects the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans. The canal cuts traveling time of ship because the ship does need to rotate through the southern tip of South America. The constitution of the canal began in 1500s. France began to construct the canal in 1881, but it was stopped due to technical problem and high labor debt rates. United States of America took over the project in 1904. Finally, Panama Canal was completed and officially opened on August 15, 1914. The next event is that in 1962, New York Agreement was signed. New York Agreement was a power transfer agreement on West Irian from the Dutch to Indonesia. The agreement was conducted on the initiation of the United States of America diplomat Ellsworth Bunker. On August 15, 1962, the agreement was signed and it contained of handing over Papua in the western part from the Netherlands to Indonesia through United Nations Temporary Executive Authority. On May 1, 1963, Papua in the western part officially returned to Indonesia. The occupation of Papua in the western part became obvious after holding determination of people's opinion in 1969, and Papuan people in the West decided to be part of Republic of Indonesia's territory. The last event is that in 2005, Aceh Peace Agreement was signed in Helsinki, Finland. Aceh Peace Agreement is an agreement which ended armed conflict between the government of Indonesia and Free Aceh Movement in Aceh in the north of Sumatra Island. The agreement was signed in Helsinki, Finland on August 15, 2005. Indonesia was represented by Minister of Law and Human Rights, Hamid Awaludin, while the movement was delegated by Malik Mahmud Al-Haytar. The peace process was monitored by Aceh Monitoring Mission, which has 5 members of ASEAN countries and several countries of European Union. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
That was Pewe Gastigan with Dari Mata Sang Garuda, or The Eye of the Garuda. And you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next one will be information from Indonesia in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia entitled Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, highlights the fire at Teso Nilo National Park. Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, highlights forest and land fires in Teso Nilo National Park, Riau, which occurred sporadically and threatened the survival of protected animals such as elephant and Sumatran tiger. This was conveyed by Minister Siti Nurbaya when accompanying TNI Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto and National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian at Rusmin Nuryadin Air Base Pekanbaru on Monday, August 12. Minister Siti Nurbaya asserted that the legal process for the perpetrators of land burning at Teso Nilo National Park will continue. According to her, there will be two other actors involving individuals but have large amount of land that will soon be processed by law. The issue of law enforcement becomes an important issue in providing a deterrent effect to land burners. For this reason, Minister Siti Nurbaya ensures that law enforcement against land burners, both individuals and corporations, must be optimally committed. Moreover, the ministry also investigating a number of companies in Siak, Pelalawan, Indragiri Hulu, and Indragiri Hilir areas. The ministry indicated that forest and land fires that are increasingly widespread in the four regions are related to plantation companies. If there are companies are proven involved in the case of forest and land fires, the ministry will provide strict sanctions ranging from administrative sanctions in the form of license revocation to civil and criminal sanctions. Minister Siti Nurbaya said that her ministry would carry out collaborative steps with the national police to crack down on land burners, including in the Teso Nilo National Park, which is now in poor condition due to looting, which led to forest and land fires. Head office of the Teso Nilo National Park, Halasan Tulus, admitted that the conditions are indeed very dry due to dry season, but it was very unlikely that fires would occur naturally. Burn areas are mostly found in locations occupied by the community, such as in Toro area. Halasan Tulus further said that the burn area of Teso Nilo Park do not reach its natural forest, but indeed approach the Flying Squad Team Camp area, where there are 8 elephant species fostered by WWF Indonesia along with the National Park Office. That was my Indonesia.
Satu nusa, satu bangsa, satu bahasa kita. Tanah air pasti jauh.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Thank you very much for everyone who are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We have been quite serious previously with information from Indonesia. It can be economic or even politics. But next one, it will not be about that. Instead, it will be about tourism or the cultures of Indonesia. And guess what? The name is Indonesia Wonder. Stay tuned.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Dolalak Dance. Purworejo Regency in Central Java has various interesting arts and cultures. One of them is Dolalak dance. The dance is a heritage dance of the Dutch colonial era. The name of Dolalak was taken from Do and La music scale because in the beginning, the dance is only accompanied by two music tones. According to the history, the dance was inspired by the Dutch soldiers' attitude when taking a rest at their camp. During the rest time, the Dutch soldiers conducted party while drinking and dancing. The activity was imitated by the local people, then created simple movement and repeated. Around 1940, the Dolalak dance was developed as religious and political mission to fight against the Dutch soldiers. Earlier, the dance was only performed at certain events, such as circumcision and ceremony. But nowadays, the dance is performed to welcome guests or to commemorate the independence anniversary. In the performance, the Dolalak dance can be played in a group, pair, or a single performance. The movement of the dance is a soldier's movement which is dominated with dynamic movement. The characteristic of Dolalak dance is kirik movement, the rapid soldier's movement in certain time. The most interesting thing when performing the dance is when the dancers are trance. With a beautiful movement, the trance dancers usually eat offerings like red roses, incense, egg, even cigarettes. Before poses into the dancer's body, the soul, or usually called danyang, is summoned by singing a song and a special dance movement. Dolalak dance is also accompanied by musical instruments such as drum, terbangan, beduk, kecer, and organ. In addition, the song to accompany the dance is varied, beginning with opening song, then parikan or rhyme, as well as pop, dangdut, and campur sari songs, which are arranged in accordance with the dancer's movement. The lyric of the song has various themes such as religion, social issues, happiness, romance, and life advice. The dancers usually use long-sleeved clothes and dark short plaid with special motifs and golden color on the chest and back. The dancers also wear dark hat with decoration like colorful feathers. They are used socks and sampur or shawl on their waist, which is only tied to the right. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. akan ku lupakan engkau. Kemanapun ku beranjak pergi, sejak nafasku berhembus sampai nanti ku mati. Oh, ku bangga karena kau. Ah, ku bahagia karena kau.
Listener, we still have more information related to Indonesia, and the next one will be the interesting ones. Next one will be Miscellany, so stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Jakarta Inter's list of potential city of global startup. Based on Global Startup Ecosystem Report, GSER in 2019, which was released by Startup Genome in May 2019, Jakarta is strong competitor which is equal with big cities in the world, such as Seoul, Moscow, and Tokyo. Jakarta becomes city which is able to compete in global arena because the city is house for four startup unicorns of Indonesia. They are Tokopedia, Gojek, Traveloka, and Bukalapak. Unicorn itself is a mention for startup whose valuation value is more than $1 billion. Startup Genome places Jakarta a city with startup ecosystem which is in the pace-led globalization in the line with eight big cities such as Sydney, Paris, San Diego, and Sao Paulo. The category given to Jakarta is only one strip under the best ecosystem category, which is given to cities like Silicon Valley, New York, Beijing, Singapore, and London. There are some reasons why Genome enters the name of Jakarta into the list. Take for example, it is relaxation of rules of government such as the establishment of an accelerated board of sale and purchase of startup specific shares by the Indonesian Stock Exchange, IDX, and the presence of incubators and accelerators that are already well established in Jakarta. Furthermore, Global Startup Ecosystem Report mentioned it that the most superior subsector in Jakarta is vintage industry. According to GSER report, Indonesia has adoption level on internet technology and mobile, which is very high, in which 75% from transaction of online shopping is conducted by using mobile devices. Chairman of Indonesian People of Creative Industry and Communication, Jody Hernadi, said that for the first time, Indonesia participated in ecosystem ranking of global startup. The ranking assists to understand Indonesia's position in startup digital global map. That was our segment for today, Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening.
And that was Ayu Anjani with Juwita. Actually, it is a remake of a nostalgic song in Indonesia, but well, I will not tell you who sang it because you need to Google that. Just Google that. Ayu Anjani with Juwita. J-U-W-I-T-N-I. Found it and just compared to the two different versions. And more music from Indonesia will be coming up next. So stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Ahead of the anniversary of Indonesian Independence Day on August 17, today's edition of Music Corner will present a heroic song from Titiek Puspa entitled Pantang Mundur. The legendary singer Titiek Puspa, also famous as a songwriter, she composed cheerful or sad songs which can touch the feeling or uplift the spirit, like the song Pantang Mundur. The song tells about a wife whose husband left for struggling to defend the motherland. The wife even prays and supports the husband to keep the spirit in fighting for the sake of the country's independence. Listener, let's listen to the song Pantang Mundur by Titiek Puspa. Enjoy the song.
Pasti kau pahlawan, ku relakan di kau berjuang demi keagungan negara. Kan jauh pergi ke Medan Jaya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dulu pernah aku punya seorang kawan, namanya lucu tapi cukup mengesankan. Ulah badannya kecil dan kulitnya hitam, baik budi seperti seorang seniman. Ku ingat namanya Hosihita. si hitam kawanku sayang. Walau kini kau tak pernah menjelang datang, tapi namamu selalu di dalam ingatan, karena budimu baik seperti seniman. Salamku padamu, oh si hitam.
Who knows, it's almost 1 hour, and it's the time, yes, the time is almost up, listener. So I would like to say thank you for listening, but before I'm changing into the next program, I would like to invite you to tell us what you feel about what we have presented for you. Email us, voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id, and also our Facebook fan page. It is accessible, just go click like and post on it, the voice of Indonesia. The Voice of Indonesia. We still have more from The Voice of Indonesia with maybe with different language programs. So stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.